Let's start out with the soul ties, with the most important soul tie that you can generate. What do you think the most important soul tie you'll ever generate will be? The one when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's a good soul tie, and you want to become one with Him. That's when you want to be bonded or joined with Christ. That's when you make or create a good soul tie. Now then, in 1 Corinthians 6:15 is where we're going to start out. 1 Corinthians 6:15 and 16, 17, and 18, and 19. We'll hit those five verses. But as we leave Philippians 2:14, in everything you do, stay away from what?
Grumbling and complaining.
Remember that. Now, some of y'all will remember that for a day or two. Some of you will forget it before you get out of here today. Some of you will go outside, and the minute you walk outside, say, "Oh, God, it's too cold out here. Lord, can you make a better day than this?" You're grumbling. In fact, before we leave that, before we go back to that scripture I just quoted, we got to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So when you walk out that door and it's shivering cold, instead of grumbling and complaining, what should you say? Hey, there's a girl that's got it right there. You know, that don't make sense, does it? Isn't it so much easier to grumble and complain instead of say, "Lord, thank you for this beautiful cold day"? But what did the Lord tell us to do? What did He say? I mean, now, if I didn't write the book, and I'm telling you exactly what God said, then what do you think me and you ought to do? We better do what the King says, right, brother? I mean, if we want Him to bless us, we got to do what He says. So, in everything, just like that says, no matter what happens, always be thankful. That's just like the day that I was, Cheryl and I was going down to my niece's graduation in Temple. She graduated from Mary Hardin Baylor down there. And we were going in, and we were flying down there because it's a 2.5 or 3 hour drive, I guess, in a car from here. But it's only 45 minutes in the airplane. So we took off here, and as we passed Waco down there, I looked over at my computer that had this, my weather on it, and I saw that the ceiling was 200 feet and a half mile visibility at Temple, which is only 15 more minutes, right straight in front of me. And I said, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to have to file IFR. I said, "Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful day. I'm flying out here in a beautiful day, but the weather is lousy down there at Temple. So, Father, you said in the name of Jesus I could ask for anything. So, Lord, I'm asking you to clear up that weather down there. I'm asking you to clear those, change that humidity dew point and make it get clear. I'm going to set the autopilot on 500 foot a minute, and I'm going to set it straight for the end of that runway in Temple, and I'm going to land on a perfect, beautiful day with no fog in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for doing it for me." Now, did He say we could ask for those kind of things? Sure He did. And so I set the autopilot, we started down, and I just watched the clouds in front of me in the next 15 minutes of flight, just watched them disappear. I landed on a runway perfect, not a cloud nowhere, pulled over to the terminal, and as I pulled up there and got out, the young man came out there, he said, "Sir, you need any fuel or anything?" I said, "No, I'm fine. I just come from Dallas, and I'm going back. I got plenty of fuel." He said, "Boy, it's a good thing you wasn't here 15 minutes ago." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Man, it was 200-foot ceilings and a half a mile visibility." I said, "Yeah, I know. I was, at 15 minutes ago, I was the other side of Temple, and I looked down at my computer, and that's what it said." So I said, "I prayed and asked God to take away the clouds," and He did. He said, "You think those clouds changed because you said, wanted them to?" I said, "No, son, I don't think so. I know so." Now, see, that's how you got to be. You got to be a man or a woman of faith. Did Jesus say if you do anything otherwise in faith, what is it? Yes. It's sin. So when you ask Him to do something, you don't say, "Oh, now, God, I hope it's your will to do this. Huh? Lord, I realize I'm just an old worthless sinner. You know, oh, God, I don't know whether you'll do this for me or not." Well, I guarantee He ain't going to do it for you. There is no faith in that. But you can ask Him. That's just like thinking about all this ice and snow and everything. I remember one time years ago, I was still working as an engineer, and we had to have a piece of equipment or part for a piece of equipment. And I had to run over to Granger and didn't have nobody to go. So I thought, well, I'll just go over and get it myself right quick. So I went over to Granger, and I'm coming back, and I pull up to an intersection. There's a hill coming down like this, and here I'm coming out to come back toward the airport. And I pull right up there, and it's ice everywhere. I mean, I'm having to be so careful. And I pull up there and stopped right at the intersection of the other road. And all of a sudden, here comes a guy over the hill. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, back up. I thought, that guy's on a straight. But you know, he said, back up. What do you think I'm going to do? I put the thing in reverse and look behind me. Nobody. I started easing back. And of course, wheels are spinning a little bit, but I'm easing back. And all of a sudden, the guy that was coming down the hill, I didn't know he was going to turn where I was. He tried. And he went, where I was sitting, he would have hit me right in the door. But since I obeyed God and I backed up, he went right past me, hit the curb, bounced completely over the curb into the ditch on the other side. I got out and I said, sir, you okay? He said, yeah. He said, boy, it's slick out here today, isn't it? I said, yeah, it really is. I said, you need a ride anywhere? No. He said, I've got a cell phone. I'll call somebody to come get me. I got back in that pickle. What do you think the first thing I did? God, I hate it that I serve you. Do you think that's what I did? Absolutely not. What do you think I was doing? I was praising the King. Thank you, Jesus, for talking to me and telling me to back up. And thank you, Lord, that I had enough sense to obey you. Now, was he wanting good for me? Now, what if I hadn't obeyed? What if I'd have said, you know, back up? What am I doing? What do you mean back up? I don't want to back up. You know, I'm trying to go this way. I'd have got run over. I'd have got run over. Now, when you hear that voice, if you're walking in obedience to his word, he will talk to you, won't he, ma'am? He'll talk to you. He loves you. I mean, I think about that day I'm going to Justin up here in the hot summertime. That sun that afternoon was right down that 407. It was right at the treetop level. And it was so bright in that windshield, I couldn't see nothing. I slowed down to 40 miles an hour, and I'm saying, Lord, I said, Lord, help me, because I'm having so much trouble seeing. Make sure I don't run into the back of somebody. And all of a sudden, he said, son, watch for the bicycle. I said, bicycle? So I slowed down a little bit more to about 30 and pulled over to where my left wheel was just up on the line. And all of a sudden, there's a bicycle right on the right shoulder. I went right by him at 30 miles an hour. Didn't see him till I was right on top of him. If God hadn't spoke to me, and if I hadn't pulled over, I'd have hit that boy right in the back end with that bicycle. And me running at 40 miles an hour, if I hit that back wheel, what do you think is going to do to him? Put him up on my hood and then out in the ditch. And who knows what that'll do to him. Is God interested in everything we do as his children? Does he want us to hurt somebody? No. Why is it we don't hear his voice? We got sin. When you got sin in your life, he's talking. But I've used this example a lot of times with people. You got a spirit and a soul here. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The Spirit of God is trying to communicate with your mind. But there's a piece of conduit pipe between the spirit and the soul. And say it's this big. Now, if that thing's nice and clean, no sin in it, no junk in it, how easy is it for that voice to go right through that piece of pipe? But what if you stopped that pipe completely full and packed it with all kinds of sin? He's on the other end screaming, son, watch for the bicycle. But do you hear it? No, you don't hear it. The pipe between your spirit and your mind is plugged up with sin. He's trying to save your life and that boy's life, but you don't hear it because you got to get rid of that sin. When you get rid of the sin, you get the Roto-Rooter out, and it goes through there and cleans all the junk out, and you wash it out. Then, with no sin in your life, the pipe is clean. Okay, so you start down the road, and as soon as you leave here today, you walk outside and say, oh, God, it's so cold out here today. Lord, I hate this cold weather. And you just stop to put a little piece. And you keep going. Before you get home, you have grumbled and complained about this guy nearly run over me. Oh, and what, that idiot out there, don't he pay attention? And by the time you get home, that pipe stopped completely full again. Is it easy to stop it up? Way too easy to stop it up. And then you're not hearing. So without the knowledge of the Word, you can't know what to do. But with the knowledge of the Word, you don't grumble and complain. You thank Him in how many things? All things. I mean, you thank Him. You praise Him. You worship Him. But you said, but my wife just got killed in a car wreck. I couldn't possibly thank God for that. What do you say thank Him for? Boy, that don't make no sense, does it? To the flesh, that don't make no sense, does it? But what did God say do? Did He say do it? And how many things? So your wife gets killed, your children, one of your children gets killed in a car wreck. You say, Lord, I want to thank You for my child. I want to thank You that I had him or her all these years. I don't know what You're doing, but You told me to praise You and thank You in all things. So, Lord, I'm praising You and thanking You in all things. Is that tough? Oh, yeah, it ain't easy. But if you obey God and obey His Word, what will He do for you? Anything you ask Him for. Really will. Now then, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and 15, and let's look at these some of these things about creating this unholy relationship or this soul tie. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined, remember the word joined, you know, that's bonded to, joined to. That's how you create a soul tie, good or bad. Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. When you get joined to a harlot, you have become one with her. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here, why God told us to be clean and pure and holy. No sex until you get married. Because if you keep yourself a virgin all of your life, you still have 100% of your soul. Here's something that happens to a lot of women. They never understand it. She goes out with some boy. He really don't care about her for anything except sex. That's his whole goal for going with her, is to conquer her in sex. She, being naive, thinks when he says he loves her, he's serious. But he's not. He's just talking.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled Holy and Unholy Relationships, Soul Ties, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.